praise the Lord. Message number 268. The title of the message, Preparation for Godly Marriage, Part 6. We will be going to discuss in this message the marriage of Boaz from Ruth the Moabites. As we know that Ruth was the widow of Mahlon, the son of Elimelech, and we know the story of this family. If we turn to Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 to 5, then we will find out the history and the background and how the marriage had been taking place. In the day when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you always send your word to us to enlighten us, to direct us, to show us the right way of life and the living. Oh Lord, I pray you anoint my lips and make the message clear, put the statement and verses to direct your people with the way of righteousness, so that everyone who listens to understand your will and be able to apply your message in his life or in her life. Lord, I pray this message, that you will use it to solve problem and to direct the affair of the church in the way that you want it to go. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you, Jesus. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now here we find that the widow of this man, Elimelech, ended that she had in her house two widows of her two sons. Her husband died, she became widow. Her two sons also died, and their wives, they became widow, and they were living with Naomi. Both of these widows were having no children, and most likely Naomi had a good thought of them, that ultimately that these two will end up with families and with children. And also, most likely, Naomi had put in her mind what Paul had stated to Timothy of how to handle young widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 15. Paul said to Timothy, as for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves, because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idols, but also busybodies. Who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. You know, Paul, here he made it clear for the widows that their dedication to Christ should be more strong than to remarry again. That is true, especially if the widow have children, because they need to raise up their children in the fear of the Lord. But for the young widow, and what he say here, young widow, when he say that, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. The point here, yes, he mentioned that they have broken their first pledge, but the younger widow, when they have sensual desire to marry, especially if they don't have children, he counseled them that they can marry. And also, younger widow may also end up of moving from place to place, and they start to gossip and speak unnecessarily nonsense things, and they would tell ultimately to Satan because of these things. In verse 14, Paul says, so I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. So what Paul suggested to them here is not the perfect will of God and not the ideal things for them to do, to marry, but because to avoid them falling into sin, he advised to marry. I personally support that if they don't have children, but if they will have children and they need to raise up their children, and there's no right person available, as we will discuss later on, better the widow will focus on raising up her children. Actually, the remarriage of a widow is not easy. It's not easy to judge or decide about remarriage, because there are much factors needed to be considered before this issue to be settled. In this message that we are going to discuss about the marriage of Ruth to Boaz, there was a valid biblical reason for this marriage, and that was to restore the family line of Elimelech and to handle the inheritance, and in order also to resume the ordained ministry of the Lord. So there are much factors are involved in the decision making of the remarriage of the widow. Noemi, we'll go back to Noemi. She's a widow and she has two widows in her house. Noemi at that cross point, crossroad, she had in her house two widows of her two sons who died. Both of them, they were young and without children. Therefore, when she decided to go back from Moab to Bethlehem, although they wanted to go back and stay with her, she was not willing to take them because she put in her mind the possibility of for them to remarry and get settled in another man's house. Both of them were non-believers, and Noemi would not like to take them with her and bear the responsibility and the critical issue of them to remarry. And if you will read the discussion that we can read it in Ruth chapter 1 verse 6 onward, then we can understand how she handled that situation. You see, they wanted to go back with her, both of them, but she did not welcome it easily, because she knew after that the issue of remarriage will be raised up. Verse chapter 1, verse 6 onward, I'll read. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why should you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even this separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" You know, it's a very beautiful passage, and with the background that we are discussing and the issue that we are dealing, there are beautiful points we can conclude in this message. First, Naomi had put emotions away and used the word of God in addressing them with the life realities and issues. Both of them, Orpah and Ruth, were non-believers, as we have stated, and she told them clearly to go back to their mother house so they might find a husband and have a new family. They were crying and wanted to go back with her, as we have read, but she made clear to them, if they really wanted to go back with her, they need to hear and admit the following. What she wanted them to know in verse 12, when she said, "Even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned against me." She made it very clear to them that if they will go back with her, then they should not put her responsible to arrange for their marriages. They put it on her clearly. They should not be called her accountable that she have to arrange for them again for them to marry another man. She told them, I don't have resources for that. The purpose of Noemi in giving the sermon to them is to differentiate who among the two is of genuine motive to follow God and abide with the perfect will of God. She wants to differentiate. Are they coming with her so she will arrange? Or are they coming for her for a godly purpose and they have a genuine motive? See here, you know, many times, oh, emotion, I will follow and I will obey. That is not a true of most of the time. So Noemi experienced, I'm a woman, I will go back and I will suffer. That's my status. If you want to come, this is the status. If you cannot bear, you are free. The second point here, Noemi's exhortation was fruitful. Orpah left her, but Ruth remained with her. At this day, would wept aloud again, they cry. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. You know, here there's a fruit. When Orpah heard about it, that there's no marriage, she left. She left the church. Ruth, I'm not after marriage, not after the marriage, not after the word. I'm after to do my responsibility toward God. Many people, they will come to church or pretend they are following Christ, but they have ulterior motive and they are not coming after God. Noemi's message to her two daughters-in-law with what we have read brought the fruit that has separated. You know, the writer of the Hebrew chapter 4 verse 12, he says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Noemi knew that Orpah was not genuine in her motive, and that's why she left her. So the purpose of the message of Noemi had been accomplished. Ruth was differentiated as an obedient child of God. The third point, Noemi further tested the genuine motive of Ruth. Noemi again tested Ruth and challenged her to go back as her sister-in-law. Verse 15, as we have read, look, said Noemi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth, she showed her genuine motive that she is after the God of Noemi, and she is coming back with her mother-in-law to care for her mother-in-law, and nothing in her mind about marriage. Verse 16 and verse 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." She makes it very clear, I am coming to be with you. You suffer, I am suffer. Your God put discipline for you, consequences, I am with you. Trials and a problem, let it come. But the thing will only separate me from you is death. Really, Ruth had a genuine faith and she is after God, and her desire is to do God's will. What was in her mind was to care for her old mother-in-law, and that is her faithfulness to God in caring for the old widow. You know, her the old widow here is Noemi, and the younger widow here is Ruth. But Ruth, she was not looking for her privilege. Ruth, she was looking for her responsibilities. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 4, Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, but If a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is a pleasing to God. And in verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. You see here, Ruth proved her faithfulness to God and to Naomi with her clear and decisive decision to go back with Naomi. She proved that she is a believer. And Ruth truly can be considered as a true worshipper of God. You know, when Jesus say in John 4:23-24, the time is coming and now has come, when the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. You see here, Ruth, she's Moabite, but she behaved like as a believer. The law of God is in her heart. That's why we can consider her now a believer in Christ, in God. She did not leave her mother-in-law. She considered herself a daughter for this woman, and she need to care for her. And that's what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has a widow in her care. So she considered herself a believer in the God of Naomi, and she need to care for her mother-in-law. That is the law. That is the law of God. You know, the way that Naomi challenged Ruth is the same way that Jesus challenged the 12 when the rest of the disciples left him. You do not want to leave me, do you? Jesus asked the 12. That is in John 6, verse 67. But Simon replied and answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Ruth, when she was challenged by Naomi to leave her, she answered her as Peter answered. You know, when Naomi in verse 16 and 17, when she said, don't ask me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will also die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Ruth was aware about the righteousness that God wants her to live her life. God had called her, and she responded to God's call, and she was willing, and she was doing his well. You know, when Ruth came back with Naomi, if we will read chapter 2, we'll find out that she started to work. She started to work as a gleaner in a farm of one of the men whose name is Boaz, and he was one of the Kismet Redeemer. Let's read chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2 and 3 and verse 17 and 18 and verse 19 to 20. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvester. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it mounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him." Noemi said to her daughter-in-law, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." You know, Elimelech had a field in Bethlehem. And as he and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died, then one of his relatives should redeem it. You know, in the process that we had described above of how God was testing Orpah and Ruth, of how God was testing these two women through Noemi, He was testing them to see who is faithful among them, so she'll be given in marriage to the kinsman redeemer who will buy the land. We have read that when Noemi challenged Orpah and Ruth that fact, she did not reveal to them. She did not tell them, "We have a land. And come, my daughter, we'll have land. You come with me, you care for me. And then there, when we go there, I'll be the one to find your husbands and you will be settling." No, she did not reveal this to them. She did not say it. Because she wants to test. And as the Holy Spirit is testing them. She did not tell them, "Come back with me and we'll find kinsmen redeemers who will buy the field and we'll arrange for you the marriages." She did not say that. Noemi promised them nothing. Because first, she cannot predict the future. And second, their commitment to God and to the holiness of God must be proved first before promising them anything. So Ruth, as she proved her faithfulness, she was fit to be rewarded by the Lord to have a family. Very clear here. Ruth, she did not come for marriage. She came to work. She came to be a gleaner. She came with the responsibility that I need to work to feed myself and to feed my mother-in-law. And when Noemi observed how Ruth made her clear commitment to go back with her and how she started to work to support the family needs and how she was led to work in the field of their next kinsman redeemer, then Noemi realized and saw clearly the good plan of God to restore the family line of her husband Elimelech and her children. So, in chapter 3, at the beginning of chapter 3, we will find that Noemi proposed to Ruth to find her a home, and it went on well. Let's read chapter 3. We will read from verse 1 to verse 18. It's a beautiful story. It's like a movie, but that's reality. How God rewards the faithful people. Noemi came back, she was rewarded. Ruth also came back, she was also rewarded. One day, Ruth, mother-in-law, Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided." Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, know the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile at his feet. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family. The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a kinsman redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do this duty as your kinsman redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." A very beautiful scripture, and I feel very satisfied as I am reading it. The fourth point that we can learn from the scripture, Naomi proposed for Ruth that she will find a home to her to be well provided. You know, in verse 1, one day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided." Marriage here is not to find a man for Ruth, but to find her a home to live and to be well provided. So here, the widow, they want to get married. It's not for sensual pleasure, but to be well provided. And there must be a right person, because he is not only Ruth but the land, and if there are children, a lot of issues need to be addressed before the remarriage of the widow. The fifth point, Noemi proposed and planned for Ruth to marry the right person. The right person whom Noemi is seeing now is Boaz, being a kiss man to them that he can marry Ruth and can buy the land from them. He is a man well-to-do, and God had directed the step of Ruth to work in his field. So when Ruth went out to work, she does not know, but the Spirit led her, God led her to work in the farm of Boaz. So when she worked there and Noemi come to know about it, she knows that he is a kissman, redeemer, and she come to know that God is unfolding his good plan for this widow and for her and for the whole family of Elimelech as she repented and came back. Therefore, Noemi was inspired to direct Ruth to approach him and give him notice that she is willing to marry him and to request him to do his responsibility to marry her. And that is biblical things in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 and 6. That is not courting. The right of the widow to marry from the brother. And here the Kismar demon, they want to sell the land so they can live there. They don't have money. And here the Kismar redeemer to buy it and also to redeem there. It's not to buy it. It is just to redeem it and to marry the widow so that the line of Elimelech and Mahlon will continue. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blot out from Israel. So here, the right person, if we decide that she needs to marry, there must be a right person. The right person to marry the widow is the brother or the one of the near relative. So the inheritance, the land, the children's rights, and the ministry and the link to the church will be secured. For all these good reasons, if the widow needed to marry, it is the responsibility of the brother or the near relative to marry the widow from within the family. In verse 7 to verse 9 to verse 10, book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, we can read further. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, he will go to the elders at the town gate and say, "My husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me." Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, "I do not want to marry her," his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, "This is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line." So here's the ministry. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. Here, in link to the church and ministry, there should be a right person, brother or sister in Christ, to marry the widow, so the church and the ministry of the Lord shall be continued and shall be also secured. Ruth, we need to mention, she was not looking for a husband. She was not looking for a young man. She was not looking for a rich man. Ruth was young, Boaz was old. But Ruth was looking and accepted to marry Boaz because she was looking forward to do God's will. And finally, Noemi witnessed the marriage of Boaz and Ruth and how God restored her family line. Next day, Boaz approached the near relative Kismah Redeemer and he told him, if you want to buy the land, and if you agree to buy the land of Elimelech, you also get the widow of Mahlon as your wife. If not, I'll be the one to redeem it. And we know that the man, he say he was not willing. In Ruth chapter 4 verse 6, at this the Kismah Redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own state. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it. Verse 7, now in era times in Israel, for redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transaction in Israel. So the Kismah Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and to all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Noemi all the property of Elimelech, Kilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together build up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he went in to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Noemi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a Kismah Redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Noemi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Noemi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word that you sent to your church on time. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word that you sent shall accomplish the purpose. Let be a fruit, oh God. Let be mysteries restored. Let be blessings continue in the life of your church and your people. Oh God, we magnify you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. I pray for obedient heart in the life of those who hear the message and take it. Let it reach those who need to hear it. And let your will be done. Oh God, bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.